Good morning, everybody. Welcome back to our class, starting Sefer Kuntros Kovas Shmira. So if we could begin with the Tefillah Al Hadibur, please, which is in the front flap of every Sefer.
Okay.
Ribono shel olam yirat v'fanecha alachem v'chanan shetizakini hayam v'chal yam l'shmar piu l'sholi milashen hara u'rechilus. V'azahar m'lidaber afilu al yishyachim. V'kol shekein al klal yisrael o al chelek mehem. V'kol shekein m'lidisraim al midosav shel kodesh baruch hu. V'azahar m'lidaber divrei shekel, chanufa, machlokas, ka'as, gaiva, Onas Dvarim, Albanas Panim, Leitzanus, Rachel Dibra Asar, the Zakeni Shil, the Dabar, Kim Dabar, Hatzarich, Lenane Gufi, Venafshi, Vikoma, Saiba Dibra, the Shem Shemaim, Amen. We are learning as a schot for an Aliyah and a Shama for Tzvi Gerash and Benio of the Chana, Alav Hashlam, Mez Nashama, have an Aliyah and the Mer of our Chavura and our learning. Okay, so we are on page 30. Let's just turn back to the end of page 28 just to recap very briefly where we were. Okay, bottom of page 28. Okay, and what we spoke about in this paragraph is that we have to protect all of our evarim, all of our body parts. We spoke about protection for the eyes. We spoke about protection for the ears, because if matters burn through those evarim, they will affect all other aspects on the body. However, we are commanded explicitly to guard our shmiras halashon, to guard our lashon, not the way we are commanded to guard the other evarim. So it's in a unique category. Guarding your tongue is in a unique category. And with that, let's open up to the top of page 30, please. Okay. Mikol makom lo matzinu, in every mikol makom, nevertheless lo matzinu, we have not found shehitzu chakasuv adam leos mamash shomer aleihem kamosha matzinu leinyan dibra. We have not found that man has been commanded to guard so carefully his other body parts, chusha ri'iya, sight, chusha shmiya, as he has been commanded when it comes to speech. And it says until mitzor l'shon chameira, guard your tongue from bad, ra. And of course, the end of the pasuk is usvasecha medaber mir, on your lips from speaking deceit. So we said that if your mouth becomes a gateway for bad, then your lips will end up speaking deceit. Guard your tongue, excuse me, guard your tongue, think about it. Even the progression of the words are illustrated in this pasuk. Nutzar lashon chameira, guard your lashon, which is inside your mouth. If you don't guard what's inside, what's going to happen to your lips? They're going to be a gateway for what? For deceit, for leitzanus, for all the ka'a, divrei ka'as. What did we just say in the Tefillah HaDibur? Ka'as, leitzanus, machlokas, onad, svarim, habanas, panim. So we have to make sure that our tongue is pure, and otherwise if our tongue is not pure and is not guarded, the lips will become the gateway for bad, as opposed to becoming the gateway for Torah and Tefillah, and chesed and kindness and complimentary words and words that build up, the lips will become a gateway for bringing down. Ba'amar shom, and it says in Mishlei, Shomer pivu l'shono. So the end of the pasuk is one who guards his mouth and his tongue. Shomer mitzaras nafsho. If you can guard your lip and your tongue, you guard yourself from tzara to your soul. So I just thought of something interesting. It doesn't say you guard the other person from tzaras, but you guard nafsho, your own soul. If you can guard your tongue from all these categories of forbidden speech, you're really guarding yourself. V'hatam, and the reason is shebedibur pi. Adam told Iker Chayav. Look at that. The Iker of man's life, how is that actually translated? The essence of life. The essence of life depends on what? Depends on P. Depends on Dibur. Depends on speech. The essence of life. The Chayin Chas V'Shalom L'Hefach. And so too, the opposite. If the essence of life depends on speech, and staying alive depends on speech, not only in Olam Hazah, but also in Olam Haba, then the opposite is also true. The Kamod Dechtiv, and it says, Mishlei Mavis V'Chayim B'Yad L'Hashon Yushinol. Death and life are in the hands of the tongue. A very, very powerful organ that Hashem has endowed us with. And when we say Mavis V'chaim B'yad Lashon, I wrote in my own notes, it's your life, it's your friend's life that's in the hands of your tongue. It's your life, it's your friend's life, it's the listener, it's the subject. It shouldn't be light in your eyes. And you know, and Ravi Tamar Schwartz writes in his Bilvavi Mishkan Evna, he says there's so many areas to do in Avodas Hashem. Where should you start first? Sometimes a person looks at themselves and they look at Avodas Hashem, think, what should I start at first? I have so much to conquer. I can't climb Mount Everest. So what does the Yetzer Hara tell you to do? You're right. You can't climb Mount Everest. So you know what you should do?
Nothing.
Give up. Forget it. You can't do it. I feel like I can't see. to the end. I'm just moving on to the end. You should give up because you can't do it anyways. But it shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be light in your eyes. And if you manage to contain your tongue and therefore your lips, you will be worthy, you will be fortunate, ashracha, in Olam Haza and as well in Olam Haba. You know, but what we have to realize with Shemiras HaLashon is that it's an ongoing battle. It's not that if you conquer one battle, the next one's going to be easier. And if you conquer one, the next one's going to be easier. It's an ongoing battle. And again, we tend to think of it as only Lashon Hara. But we just said in the Tefillah Al-Hadibra, Sheker is lying, Chanufa is flattery to improper situation, improper person. Machlokas, Kas, Gaiva. Very difficult. This morning, I'm giving you a personal example. Mama's just this morning, there was no busing. And one of the 10-year-olds went to shower, so the other 10-year-old said he needs to also shower. Oh, it's late. 8:20. He's first going to the shower. Yeshiva starts 8:30. What am I saying to myself? Micha, don't say it. I was very upset. Don't say it. Now, a higher madriga is to what? Not be upset inside. But while I'm telling myself this is what Hashem wants, don't say it. But every Inyan is going to be a new battle. So in that case, it wouldn't have been Lashon Hara. But perhaps if I had spoken, it would have been Kas. I would have certainly been out of anger. Probably would have led to Albanus upon him, embarrassment, because he would have been embarrassed. It's so hard to hold back. It's so hard. Even if you conquer once, and twice, and three times, and 100 times. The 101st time is still so hard. It's so hard. And while I'm telling myself it's from Hashem, it's what he wants, don't say it, don't say it. And then my husband texted me, he dropped them off and they weren't late. And it seems everybody was coming else now at 8:40 because it was lined up all the way back at 8:40. And how would I have felt if I would have felt anything? In the moment, I probably would have felt validated. After they would have left yeshiva, how would I have felt? Terrible. Mavas v'chayim belad halashon. It's not only my life, it's my child's life. Not only my life, it's my friend's life. Not only my life, my neighbor's life. It's mine and somebody else's as well. But we have to be prepared because every battle is a battle. Every time it's so hard. You think it should get easier. It doesn't get easier. The Yetzer Hara has to get trickier. He has to get smarter. Yes?
But what about finding a way that you would feel comfortable with to prevent it from happening the next time? The
correct,
next
100%.
Time is going to be. There's an Indian finish,
yes. Let me finish. Let me say. I said to him, I have to speak to you after school. It wasn't the right time when he was late and I was feeling angry to deal with it. And I knew it wasn't the right time.
Gotcha.
It was a bad time to do that because all that would have come out of my mouth was different kas. It would have led to Albanus Panim, it would have led to Machlokas. I said to him, I have to talk to you after school. Yes, 100%, there's an Indian of Chinuch, and this is it. It's not acceptable, but that was not a good time.
Gotcha.
Okay? So at that moment, I had to keep my mouth shut. Literally, Netzor Hashon Chameiros, Vizach Medaber Mirma. Okay? And if you can do so, Me'ushar Bezeh Ubaba, you will be fortunate, not only in Olam Hazar, you will have a more peaceful life and a more pleasant life and a Torahic life and a more Yasher life, but you will also be fortunate in Olam Haba. Okay? I think we said last time, I'm not sure, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, I don't know if we said last time, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein's Zatzal, his first Yurtzeit, we just passed. Rav Aaron Lichtenstein speaks about anger, and he says about anger, kas. So I gave you an example of a real situation where I really felt kas inside. Again, a higher madriga is to not feel the kas inside, okay? For me, I'm happy I was able to keep my mouth closed in Baruch Hashem. What's so bad about anger? The Rambam, kas. And again, and I think it's important to reiterate these midos, because when we think of Shmiras HaLashon, we think so much of Lashon Hara, don't talk about somebody else. But there's so many components of Shmiras HaLashon that have nothing to do with talking about somebody else. What's the quality of your words? What's the quantity of your words? What's the topic of what you're speaking about? Anger, kas. And we davened for that just now. The Rambam considered anger an extremely bad trait. The Rambam had a golden mean. When he formulated his golden mean, the middle route a person should follow, he excluded anger. So for every midah, you have to be in the middle path. You have to be proud to be a Jew. Not a bal gaiva, rather pew, but you have to be proud of your hadas, not ashamed of who you are. That you need gaiva to be a Jew in the proper way. You need on that end a nevus in the proper way. Too much a nevus is not good. Everything should be in the middle path, not anger. It is always prohibited. As a support, he cites the Gemara. Shabbos 105b, whoever loses his temper, kola koeis kilu oved avodah zarah. I think we spoke about that in this class. Did we speak about that gemara related to kaz and shmiras halashem, kola koeis kilu oved avodah zarah? Why is it like you are oved avodah zarah if you're angry? Why is it like, I'm not oved avodah zarah because I got angry?
And you're not believing that it came from Hashem, whatever is happening to you at that point.
Very nice. So Tzimar Zilberberg writes that exactly, very nice. If you believe everything is from Hashem, well, that's what I'm saying to myself this morning in the kitchen, when everyone says, it's all Hashem wants, everything's from Hashem. So then you don't be angry, because if it's from Hashem, then ultimately you're not really angry, you're sad.
I don't think mothers are in this category.
I didn't hear.
I don't think mothers are in this category, because otherwise I am all over, forget about it.
I said,
I don't think mothers are in this category.
Mm-hmm. Maybe
talk to the other
myself,
not
young.
So I
would speak. Late Sanus is another category, right? We just said in the field of Late Sanus. And he would say that people think it's very grave, Late Sanus, and people don't take it seriously when it comes to children. Mocking, jokes, make fun, and that it's a very, very serious
thing. They're making
minutes. What is it?
Grab him with his legs. And I grab him with his legs and I pull him up and he's huge.
You have to know how you're doing it. That's why I said this morning was not the right time for me to speak to my son. I was not in a good place to talk to him. I knew that, okay? That's absolutely correct. That Rosi Meir Zilberberg says, if then you don't believe it's from Hashem, if everything's divinely ordained, then I'm not angry. And it could be difficult for me, but I shouldn't have an expression of anger. Now, Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gives a different reason. Why did the Rambam say anger never belongs in the middle path? You should never have anger. By the way, according to the Rambam, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's sin in Parshas Chukas?
I guess when he got angry.
That he got angry. Not that he struck the rock. Vayach asasa b'mateu pamayim. It wasn't that he struck the rock. It was his ka'ash. Shimuna hamorim minasalasa notzi l'chamayim. You know what? That's an answer. Moshe Rabbeinu was like their mother and their father. Why could he not be an involved parent? He don't know anything about his children because it was at the hotel. Once he accepted his mission, that Tzipora realized she had to take over the entire world. That's why she did Bris Mila. Bris Mila is a mitzvah really for the father. Why does it show us that Tzipora did Bris Mila? She realized she had to be the father and the mother to the children, because Moshe had to be the father and the mother to Kal Yisrael. He said about himself, but am I their nursemaid? Do I carry them in their bosom like a nursing mother? He had to be their mother and their father, and he was not exempt from anger. Shimuna Amorim Minasela Zen Notzli Chamayim. Listen, oh you rebels, you think from this rock I'm going to take out from you water? He became angry, and the Rambam says that was his failing, and he was their mother and their father, and it was Shayach to him. It was not acceptable. So much so that Hashem said, Yana Shalom Mamtin Bilak Tishen, you didn't believe in me, you didn't make a kiddush Hashem, you're not going into Eretz Yisrael. Look at the consequences. So Rav Aaron Lichtenstein gives a different reason as to why anger is equal to Avodah Zarah. Anger is dehumanizing. It expresses a loss of self-control. When we daven for gaiva, what did we say? Not for gaiva. Hazahar miladaber, guard me, said the Chabad Chaim. I should speak, I should not speak. Lies, flattery, machlokas, kaas. Kaas leads to machlokas. Gaiva stems from kaas. Onas dvarim, that would have been against my son if I spoke to him from anger. Onas dvarim would have been verbal harassment. It was an isser in this last expression. That stems from anger. Habanas panim, embarrassing somebody else, stems from gaiva and kaas. So what's so bad about anger? Anger's dehumanizing. Second, I'm sorry. It expresses a loss of self-control. We just had this in Pirkei Avos. Ezahu Gibor HaKovesh Asyetzov in chapter 4, Mishnah Aleph, just this past Shabbos. Instead of a person being a master of his passions, he has become their slave. I'm going to repeat it. Anger is dehumanizing. Why am I davening that Hashem should save me from kaas? It's dehumanizing. It expresses a loss of self-control. Instead of a person being the master of his passions, he has become their slave. This is why it's as if he worshipped idols. Says Rav Aaron Lichtenstein, idolatry of Avodah Zarah means handing over control to something else. When you become angry, in essence, you're handing over control of self to who? To the kaas. However, to my... Okay. So he says you don't transgress a specific prohibition in the Shulchan Aruch in the Torah. It never says don't be angry, but it's certainly not within the spirit of the law, and it's something that the Chofetz Chaim addressed as well. And the Gemara tells us it's like you are Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Okay? So very, very serious. Anything on that?
Yeah,
No, only many times in Chumash, it was talking about Hashem. I know it's metaphorical, but it talks about Hashem. Took Hashem getting angry.
Okay. Vayichar af Hashem b'Moshe. And Hashem became angry at Moshe by the snare. Vayichar af Hashem b'am vayelich. And Miriam and Aaron. By the way, what did they do? They spoke Lashon Hara about Moshe. And the result... Wait a minute. At the snare, Hashem's anger is because Moshe spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. Yes, he refused the task. But one of the things he did was he spoke Lashon Hara about Klal Yisrael. That's why God so asked. Miriam spoke Lashon Hara, it says, Vayicha af Hashem b'Avayich. So the answer to that is, are we supposed to emulate the midos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? And the answer is yes. The Gemara speaks about, in Sotah 14a, that we have to emulate the traits of the Almighty. That's our tafkid. He teaches us. So you ask a very nice question, Esther. So what can we say about anger? Hashem becomes angry. So when we talk about Hashem's anger, that's perfect anger. Do you understand? My anger is tainted with feelings of gaiva. Let's say, how could my son not listen to me? I told him not to shout out. He thinks this is a good time. My anger could be tainted by impatience. I have to get to class, he has to get to yeshiva. How come he's going to the shower at 8:20 when yeshiva starts in 10 minutes? I'm using some example, but a mamish happened in my home 1 hour ago. So it's a very real example. My anger is tainted by other negative emotions. Kadosh Baruch Hu is perfect. Chatzur tamim. Pa'alo ki kol drach of mishpa, says Moshe Rabbeinu. Hatsur, the rock, tamim pa'alo, perfect are his works. Kol drach of all his ways are mishpa, are with justice. He can have kaviyachol pure anger without chalila. It sounds ludicrous to say being tainted by other emotions that will mean that the anger is not pure. So when Hashem is angry, kaviyachol, he's in the right place and the right time to deal with that emotion. Whereas when I'm angry, I'm not, because it will lead to everything else that we are speaking about in this tefillah al hadibur of the Chafetz Chaim. That's a very nice question.
Okay. Good answer.
Anything else? Okay. Chelek Yod. V'yesh anashim shatoim b'nafsham lomar. There are men who make a mistake with their soul and they say, Ein lenu koach lishmar esadibur b'chol lishmar esadibur b'chol pratim. I don't have the koach. Even look at the statement. Echavnish kan koach. I just can't do it. I'm too tired to fight the Yetzirah every time. Lishmar esadibur b'chol pratim. You have to be able to guard in every detail, in every matter. Daili im eshmar beis advarim. Look. So look at this. This is also the Yetzirah. That is the Yetzirah. I tell you, you can't do it. I'll do some. You could do some. You understand how tricky he is and how smart he is? If he would tell you disregard it completely, so you wouldn't disregard it completely, because the Torah says, I can't write it off. What kind of Jew would I be if I just wrote off Shmir Salasha? Don't worry about all of it. You don't have to do all the things. Just pick one. Pick two. Okay? It's unbelievable. Dailim Eshmer Bez Advarim, it's enough for me to guard in certain matters. Avozohi Ta'us Me'ikara. This is a mistake of Iker. Serious mistake, but it doesn't even mean serious mistake. Ikar means the ikar of the matter, is the main point of the matter. This is such a serious mistake that addresses the main point of being a Jew. Shayodua, she'ena kosh baruch hu ba bitrunaya im briosa. This means, I'm looking at the English translation for this, Hashem does not seek to indict his creations with laws that can't be practically observed. In other words, you know the expression, ladies, Hashem doesn't give you what you can't handle? So many of us, or maybe I should say me, that's a hard phrase. I don't know who coined the term. I don't love it. You have to be very careful who you tell that to. Person in a certain nisayon does not want to be told Hashem doesn't give you what you can't handle. But the Chafetz Chaim is saying, in regard to Shmiras HaLashem, Hashem does not indict his creatures with laws that cannot be practically observed. So again, in regard to Hashem, if he wrote in the Torah you could do this, and if the halacha is this is what you have to do, then you have to know you can do this. You can be matzliach. V'im ein b'koach adam lishmar kol elu hadvarim. And let's say man doesn't have the koach, the ability to observe all these details and laws. That's what you think. It's not true. Lo hayakosar kosh baruch b'torasso. If you, every single person, didn't have the koach to withstand, Hashem wouldn't have even written in the Torah. He's not wasting ink. He's not writing silly matters. If he wrote it, it means what, ladies?
You can do it. It's doable.
It's doable. Has here as Bnei Yisrael Akul, and Hashem wrote it all in to guard us on them. And I wrote in my notes, the Torah says in Sefer Dvarim, Lo b'shamayim hi. The Torah is not in the heavens, so we have to climb ladders to go get it. And lo me'ever layam, and the Torah is not on the other side of the sea. Ala b'ficha b'lvavcha la'asos. It's in your mouth. Interesting, it says mouth, and in your heart to do. It's right here. And Rashi says here, if you had to climb to Shemayim to do it, you would have to, but you don't have to. You don't have to climb to Shemayim. You don't have to cross seven rivers. It's right here for you to do it. V'chai b'hem v'lo she'em muspahem. We can do. We have to live by them. The mitzvos, and not to die by them, and that's both in the Ruch Nisram and in the Gash Misram. Okay? So we have to know that Torah is not far away from us. It has to be part of us, and it's doable. Hey, kimo dechtiv b'parshas Hazinu b'sofa, like it says in Parshas Hazinu, at the end, simu levavchem, pay attention with your heart to all these things that I am testifying to you today. L'chol dvar mashanuchi meid b'chem hayam. That has to do with, how do we testify that we should command, continues the Pasuk, your sons to guard by setting an example? You understand? You could tell your kids from today to tomorrow. You could, a Rebbe could tell their Talmid from today till tomorrow, you should do this, you should do that. But if the Rebbe or the teacher or the parent doesn't do it, then what? Doesn't matter what you tell the child. Set an example. Bear testimony. Be a witness. Asher tatsuvim es b'neichem. How do you command your sons? Lishmor to guard. La'asos to do. All the words of the Torah. Ki chayechem. It's your life. How do you impact to your children that it's your life? By doing. So my brother and my sister-in-law and their children were over last night for supper. So my brother said to me, you want a good story? He said, I'll give you a good story. So here, okay, you're the first place there. And he just told me last night, he's a rabbi in Har Torah. So he gives a chabura in between, I don't remember when, there's a spare, I don't know, for the 7th and 8th grade, he gives a chabura, okay? It shouldn't be a waste of time for the boys who want to learn a little more, fine. So one day he was on his way to school and he didn't have anything, he didn't know what he was going to talk about in the chabur, so he was going to cancel the chabur. He didn't have anything to talk about in the chabur, so he went to Wayu Torah and he said, of all the 150,000 shir by Wayu Torah, he chose one, and the content of the shir was perfect for the boys for the chabur on his way to school. So he told his 5th grade class the story. So he said, I didn't have anything to teach, I was going to cancel the chabur. Of all the 100,000 plus shir by Wayu Torah, the one I chose on the way to school was relevant for the chabur, and I was able to not cancel, we were able to learn. So he said to the 5th grader, I felt it was hashkacha. Okay, that's what he told them. So the next day, listen to the story, a 5th grader came over to him, Rabbi, says, and he says, it's a very good boy. He said, he's such a good boy, and he's like a cool and a popular kid. Okay, he's really good from Erlang boy, Yasha, and he's a popular cool kid. 5th grade. So the boy said, you know the story you told us yesterday? He said, so yesterday was lunch, and I was sitting at the table with the other kids, and they started to talk, not nice, about somebody else. And the 5th grader said this to my brother, and I wanted to leave the table. But I didn't know how to leave the table without insulting them. I couldn't just get up. I didn't know what to do. They were talking Lashon Hara. He didn't want to hear. Speaking Lashon Hara, 5th grader. Said I to my brother, I didn't know what to do. So then he said to my brother, then I sneezed. And then when I sneezed, I needed to get for a tissue. And the 5th grade, he said to my brother, I felt it was hashkach. He said the exact words my father said. I felt it was hashkach. I didn't want to sit at the table, and I sneezed. I needed to get for a tissue. Hashem helped me. So it's unbelievable. My brother said to me, 5th grade boy, it's unbelievable to not want to speak the Lashon Hara, to want to get up from the table, but be sensitive to the people there, and to realize that the sneeze and the tissue is min hashamayim. It's unbelievable. So we shouldn't think the Torah is so far away from us that we can't do it. We can do it. That's what I said to this in the beginning. The way you want to go, Hashem will help you if He sees you're sincere on my path. He's going to give you opportunities to be better, to do better, not to speak the forbidden words. It has to be, though, by example. Has to be by example. Asher tatsuvim espenechem. You have to command your children. You have to teach your children. But if you set the wrong example, everything you say and teach, what? To the next generation, it's meaningless. If they don't see your action. You know, one more vignette that made a big impression on me when we were coming home after Pesach from Toronto in the airport. I really thought we were going to miss our flight. The airport in Canada, I mean, I never saw lines like this. And we were moving and there weren't enough check-in people, but the computers, so I was complaining. Said, it's going to take so long, we're going to miss the fight, they're so inefficient. I was very stressed out, I was very nervous. And then I heard one of the little boys saying, they're so inefficient, it's taking so long. I thought, he's saying what I said. I had the opportunity to say, it's going to be okay, Hashem wants us to be in the sky for some reason, Gamzu Latova. And then when I heard him saying that, I thought, unbelievable. So I could say whatever I want, but I have to model a certain example. I'll share Titzavim Espenechem, I'm going to take a climb, Lishmar, La'asos is called Dever Torah, Lishmar, guard the mitzvos, La'asos, do. And don't think it's beyond you. If a person is a perpetual Baal Lashon Hara, then what do the children learn? It's okay, because my parents always talk about other people. When we sit down to the Shabbos people, we're all at the table, we're always talking about others. Yes, Kanda.
Going back to this beautiful fifth grader. So he felt he had to get up at that time, and he felt hashgacha pratis with the sneezing. So the other kids really didn't know that he wanted to leave because it's lashon hara. So at an opportune time, when he doesn't feel under the whatever, should he allude to it? Should he not allude to it? How?
I understand, but you have to understand he's 11.
Right.
So
it's the same
it's
thing.
It's very hard.
It's 15, 25. I mean, at some point, should you tell somebody I didn't feel comfortable?
So for a fifth grader, the fact that he was able to extract himself from a lashon hara situation is unbelievable.
Oh, the sensitivity to it.
It's unbelievable because there are many adults, you're bringing up adults, who can't do that. I'm not a mechanech of children and I'm not a rav, but I think for him in his situation, what he did was unbelievable.
Totally.
I think it was unbelievable. Totally. For an adult, you ask a very valid question. So the pasuk says, "Hocheach tochiach es amitacha." It's in Parashas Kedoshim a few weeks ago. You shall surely rebuke your fellow. Why is it a double lashon? Hocheach tochiach es amitacha. I could just say, I don't know how it could say, "Hocheach es amitacha." Excuse me. First, you have to rebuke yourself. Hocheach. Then, once you've got it down, tochiach es amisacha, then you're able to give rebuke to somebody else amongst your people. It's very hard. I think every situation has to be judged on its own, and possibly to seek advice of Rav, because it's not so pashut in this generation to give tochacha to other people, because people don't want to hear it. It depends who it is, it depends on the relationship, but hocheach tochiach es amitacha, hocheach for myself comes first, then I can be tocheach. You have to know the situation, you have to know the person will take it. You know, you have to know between spouses, between sisters, between children, a best friend, maybe.
Most
lashon
hara, I think, is on the Shabbos table.
At the Shabbos table.
The Shabbos are young people, the conversation that goes on. I mean, the Shabbos had guests over.
So remember what I quoted from Rav Pam months ago. Rav Pam said the moment you leave shul on Rosh Hashanah is a dangerous hour. Because when you leave shul, how was the Baal Tefillah? How was the Baal Korah? How was the Baal Tokeya? Did you see what she was wearing? Why did she let her kids run around shul? The davening slept out so long. I didn't like the rabbi's speech. So here you were davening for rachamim. Shuvah Tefillah Tzedakah Malarita Sroxay. And Rapam says it's a dangerous hour when you leave shul.
So this Shabbos, I said, you know, I take Shmuel's Lashon class.
That what?
I was sitting on Shabbos, guys, stop. And my daughter was in there, and I said, just stop, everybody. You guys are just talking about people, it's crazy. So then, you know, I take Shemir's Lashon Shir. So someone said, the people that take it need it. I'm like, okay. And I look at Yaakov, and I said, he's not terrible.
So, you know what's so interesting about what you just said? It's really what the Chafetz Chaim is saying. Ein lanu koach l'shmar es adibur b'chol ha'pratim. It's not for me. I don't need to guard myself from almas because it's such a hard inyan. It's so hard. It never gets easier.
It's fun to listen to. I mean, I'm listening to the conversation.
Hey, it feels good in the moment. Like, it would have felt good for me to get angry at my son. Like, this morning, allowing the release of my feelings against my son would have felt good in the moment. And then after, you say, when it's any of these, onas tvarim, habanas panim, leit sanas, v'chol dibur asr, why did I do it? Let's go on. Right. We just expanded upon the pasuk from Ha'azinu. How do you teach? How do you guard? La'asos. You do, and in that way, your children will learn. Okay? Ki hu chayechem, because it's your life. And again, the airport, my son started to complain about the airport workers and how long it was taking, and he's only 10. I thought, look what he's saying. He said, when he said they're so inefficient, I thought, whoa, Michal, okay. Ella ba'emes, the truth is, im haya ha'adam sam libo, is that if you really paid attention, you really put your heart towards the matter, umis bonin, and pay attention, ki b'divrei Hashem tului kol chayav, your entire life depends on what? On the words of Hashem. Part of the words of Hashem are Shmir Salashon. Doesn't mean it's easy. Not all of the Avodas Hashem is easy. Asking on Yom Kippur is not easy. Have to do it. Lo haya hadavar, you know, you're stranded somewhere. I'm being serious. And you're so hungry. And you forgot to pack food. You ran out of food. And the trip is taking longer, the road trip. And you pull into a rest station. And the only thing they have that's kosher is those chazarai chips. And I don't know what else. And you don't really eat it. But you're not going to buy treif. It might not be easy. I might be very hungry. Why? Because you do it. So why, Shmir Salashon, do we say, oh, it's not for me? Lo haya hadavar kasha lo klal. If you recognize that everything, your whole life depends on Hashem, the matter wouldn't be difficult for you at all. Wouldn't. V'zeu shekasuv simul avavchem, pay attention with your hearts. Pay attention. V'gam lefi hayadua shehaba l'tahar, whoever wants to be purified. What is the end? Messiah, you know, so he will be helped. So Aron Lichtlin Tzitzah, this is a very, very beautiful sefer. It's so beautiful. It's called by his light characters and values in the service of God. It's transcripts of his shiurim. So he quotes the Rambam, okay? So I'm actually quoting the Rambam. From Hilchos Mikvaos, okay? Chelek Yer Aleph, Halacha Yer Beis. Habali Taher, one who wants to be, what's Taher? Purified. Messiah also, he will be helped. If you want to be purified, Hashem will help you. That boy didn't want to talk Lashon Hara, so what happened? Dafka at that moment, he sneezed and needed a tissue. What is purification? This is Hilchos Mikvaos. Bali Taher, just as one who sets his heart on purification becomes pure as soon as he immersed himself. He's talking about when you go into the mikvah, okay? Although nothing has changed physically, right? Before the mikvah, the tumah is not dirt. You could be spotlessly clean, but until you immerse, you're not tahar. It's a spiritual state, not a physical state of dirt, a spiritual state of uncleanliness. He becomes pure when he immersed himself. Nothing has changed physically, but listen to the next part. So too a person who sets his heart on purifying himself from the impurities of the soul, which is really what we're talking about today in relation to Shemir Salashon, through thoughts of evil and bad character traits, one who has evil and bad character traits, how do you rid yourself of them? He's purified when he decides in his heart to distance himself from these counsels. Make the decision that you don't want to be involved in this, says the Rambam, and you'll be purified as soon as he decides in his heart. Simu levavchem. Pay attention in your heart. As soon as you decide in your heart, this isn't for me. I don't want this life. I don't want to be at the table with these people. I don't want to be angry at my son. I don't want to complain about the workers. From these cancels, he brings into the soul the waters of pure reason, says the Rambam. When you bring into your neshama the water, water is Ein Mayim Ela Torah. When you bring into your soul the water of pure reason, Hashem will help you. Ba'ala Tahir Messiah Yenosa. So now let us move to a halacha. Yes, Alyssa? Okay. Any questions or comments? Okay. So we actually have a few more minutes. We have a few more minutes. We'll just start 5 minutes late. So I just want to relate one thing. We have to learn from everything. Last week I went into. So I'm telling you this for purposes of learning, not for purposes of complaining. I went into the library after I told you what happened when I was complaining with at the airport. And the librarian was not happy because it turns out that my daughter's card was under her Hebrew name and not her legal name, even though they sound almost exactly the same. So the librarian said to me, it has to be under her legal name. When she gets her license, isn't going to be under her legal name. I'm thinking to myself, lady, she's taking a book from the library. She's 12 years old. This is not her license, okay? We're not in the police station. Who cares if it says Tamar or Tammy? I mean, that it wasn't like Christine versus Chava, okay? It was Tamar and Tammy. I have to change it. She was all annoyed. So when I left the library, I was not so happy. I was annoyed because she was annoyed. You see, I let her annoy make me annoyed. So I took out my phone even. I wanted to text my husband because I just wanted to vent. And I was going to tell him, what do they think they are? It's not the police station. It's not the armed corps. Who cares if it says I was frustrated? Then I stopped. I said, why am I complaining to my husband about this? I need to be a little stove. What's it going to help me? I didn't say this anyway. I'm not saying it for purpose of Chas Shalom Bagayva. Really, I'm not. I didn't tell him. I didn't even tell my husband the story, okay? But I'm telling you because it really, it's a focus of our learning. What's the point of saying the negative, whether it's by speech or by typing? Who does it affect? Me. My Netzar Pivu, Lashonu Netzar Mitzaras. Nafsho. What does it help me? This is practical. You want to talk about practical halacha? It's practical. I don't know if it's halacha or it's not halacha, but it's a practical hashkafa. What do I have to go around looking for the bad and then complain about? Would it change anything for me to complain to my husband? No. Is she even going to know I complained to my husband? Who's going to be affected? Me. I put away my phone and said, you don't need to text him. So big deal. So the lady in the library is a little bit neurotic and she thinks she's a police officer. Who cares? Move on. And I didn't do it. And we have to strive to be a liros tovi. Practical, that's practical. In every situation, we have to look around this. Did I really need to complain about it? No. What was the point? What was it going to... Could my husband do anything from work on our way in the office? No. Okay. Unfortunately, I wasn't with any of the kids so that they could see. But Hashem knows. Now you know.
So I just want to tell you, Michal, that this whole shir, every time you've shared something that was personal to you, you have exemplified it in a shir that I heard this past weekend. And one of them is that Rabbi Ephraim Shapiro gave an acronym, SIX, that we should stop. You know, how do we inhibit? How are we better at Shmir Selection? We should stop and think about what we're going to say, and so it's the word six. Stop, think about what we're going to say. Is it really what you want to say? How will it impact the person that you're saying it to? And the X is...
And how will it impact you?
Exactly, you, the universe, what you're about to put out, how does it impact everyone and anyone? And X is, I give a little story, which I won't share it in the interest of time, but be somewhat, make sure that your actions are something that you want to set an example for somebody. So you, by the way, in all your stories, have embodied that whole year.
Yes,
so
it's yeah, but it's right. And the example goes two ways. Okay, me complaining in the airport goes one way, and my brother saying I felt it was hashkacha, and then the fifth grader came over and said my sneeze was hashkacha. It goes in both ways. Okay. Thus far, we have focused on statements which are derogatory in nature. Okay? So you can't make a derogatory statement about another person. I'm going to the halacha day. Okay? The second category of lashon hara. So the first category of lashon hara is mamish saying something that's derogatory. Okay, you can't say it. Even though you want to, you can't. The second category of lashon hara involves statements that could potentially cause harm to a person. Potentially. Be it physical, emotional, or financial. So it's not outright. You're not even sure. It's ambiguous. Physical harm? Excuse me? Emotional or financial harm? For example, let's say, I'm trying to think of an example. Financial harm. Let's say someone says they went to that pizza shop. Okay? And you say it's not my taste. That's ambiguous. And it's not straight out, his food is terrible and I got food poisoning and it's old and I don't believe it's fresh. It's not my taste. It might be your taste, it's not my taste. But you implant, it's ambiguous, and you implant in the person's mind already the machshava, why isn't it her taste? Maybe I shouldn't go there next time since there are six other pizza shops on Central Avenue and places where I could get pizza. I'm not going to go there. So do you see how what seems to be an innocent, you even think it's a nice statement. It's a nice way of saying, I don't like that place. You're not saying, oh, it's terrible. You're saying, it's not my taste. Right away, you're putting something, yes, you want to say?
Yeah, but you're not saying, I got food poisoning. But let's say you did get some food poisoning somewhere. Could you repeat that? It would be lashon hara, but that's something
I understand.
Dangerous.
You mean to? Mm-hmm. That's different than saying it's not my taste. His crust is too thick for me, so I go somewhere else. That's ambiguous. I hear. You have an obligation to tell somebody else that you got sick in that place. I don't know, because I can't pass a practical shayla. I don't know, but I do want to say that many people end up with food poisoning different times in different places. Maybe one time is cheese was... I don't know. You have to ask. I don't know. I hear your question, okay? Are you protecting somebody else becoming ill? Not your taste, but there's something more significant.
What is an appropriate answer? Same thing. How was the shear? How was this? What is
it? It was very nice. Why can't you say the shear was very nice even if you don't like it?
Or so the pizza.
Okay, if you leave here and someone says, how's the shear?
No, but I'm saying, so how would you answer?
I'm being serious.
The pizza? Okay. So that
it was fine. It was good. It was fine. I'm interested to talk to Venice.
Same thing with pizza. You would just say you wouldn't say something.
It's fine.
Okay.
The Talmud teaches grama binazikin asar. It's forbidden to cause a person damage indirectly. Grama binazikin asar. Thus, any form of speech, even if not derogatory, but which may cause harm to someone, constitutes lashon hara and is forbidden. Any form of speech, even if not derogatory, but which may cause harm, constitutes lashon hara and it is forbidden. So again, we have to be very careful. From this page, very quickly, hashkafa, even though we did a lot of hashkafa already, the whole class is really hashkafa combined with practical. It was taught in the academy of Rabbi Yishmael, whoever relates lashon hara commits grave sins that equal the three cardinal sins. So a person who speaks lashon hara, it's as if he committed gilui arayos, adultery, shvichus damim, murder, and avodah zara, idolatry, and we just spoke about adultery, okay? Habanas kamei, it's easy, I'm putting easy in quotes, to understand how so. Avodah zara, we spoke about ka'as. Ka'as is one of the forbidden forms of speech. You commit avodah zara, kaviyachol, when you become angry and you allow the expression of that anger. Murder. It's as if, why is it called habanas panim? Face becomes white. It's as if you murder someone when you embarrass them. And adultery, I'm trying to think. Yeah, it's like you betrayed someone else's trust. When you spoke negative, it's like you betrayed their trust. Yeah.
This, what you're saying about lashon hara is exempted about for shidduchim, right?
For shidduchim? So that for sure, you know, I don't know. You for sure need to seek rabbinic counsel.
Okay, so based on what I thought I learned, there's exemptions for shidduchim, and if you're thinking of going into business with somebody, then whatever. So to me, it's not my taste. I mean, that's like a form of going into business. If you go to a business every day, you're like going into business with that pizza shop. So where do you draw the line?
Well, let's say it's another person's taste. And it's not that they're food poisoning. And it's not that, you know, you saw mouse droppings. It's just you don't think it's a good pizza store. Whatever. Maybe you have a personal vendetta against a guy. I don't know. And that other person has no problem with it. What is the point of saying something ambiguous that could cause that person harm? I'm not talking about if there's a real shaila. An ambiguous statement that could cause somebody else harm is forbidden, whether it's physical, emotional, or financial. And alternatively, when someone commits murder, we know this, he kills a single soul. But the Chazal tell us when one speaks lashon hara, he kills three. Who does he murder? The subject, the person he spoke about, the listener, and finally, what we don't realize is that we're killing ourselves.
It says that you don't want to cause another person harm. You shouldn't say lashon hara. But like in Carolyn's example, you're trying to prevent harm.
Right.
No,
so that's why I said you need to ask a shayla.
No,
Sheikh Shaduchim for sure you need to ask shayla, and every case is different. Don't extrapolate anything from here about Shaduchim because it's complicated. I don't know the halachos. You must ask a shayla, and every case is different. Okay? Embarrassing remarks. And it's interesting because in the beginning of the class we touched upon this, and I told you what Pam said, that Leitzanus is very serious, and people don't think it's so serious when it comes to Leitzanus of children. And it's very grave. And people do mock children. Even calling someone a nickname that they don't like. My husband was taught, said, Rabbi Feynman of the Red Shul between Mincha and Maariv gives a little dvar to every day. And one day he told me just a couple weeks ago, it was uncalling someone a nickname. That's a form of, I don't know if he used the word late sonus, but it's a form of mockery. If the person doesn't like it, and you know, this happens, you call the person by that name, and they don't like that name, then you are really transgressing the prohibition of Onas Dvarim, which is in this week's parasha. And we don't think about it, but when it comes to children, it's very severe. If they don't like how that, and they see it as mockery, it doesn't matter how you see it, then it's mockery. Now, of course, Rabbi Feynman said, if the person likes to be called that nickname, it wasn't against nicknames, it was against calling somebody in a mockery inform something that they don't like. It's embarrassing. Embarrassing remarks. One who conveys information to others has no control over who will hear it and in what setting it will be repeated. By the way, it's even worse now with virtual communication, with texting and email. It's even worse. You have no control over who will read it and in what setting it will be repeated. Once you hit send, that's it. It's out there. Whatever one says concerning another person may very well be repeated in the presence of that person or in the presence of others. I'm going to add a new cause further shame and humiliation. It is forbidden to say anything about a person that might embarrass him, were it to be repeated in his presence, or really taps into our palms, to combine with our Bifayim and Shlita said that you're not allowed to, I'm going to say it in my own words, a joke at somebody else's expense is not a joke. Because it's embarrassing. You might think it's funny. It's not funny to that person. It's leitzanus. And that leitzanus leads to habanus panim. Both terms that the Chafetz Chaim coined as parts of forbidden speech. And even if the even if the information is not derogatory, that's exactly what Rabbi Feynman said. The nickname might be a not derogatory name. You might love the nickname. To him, it's embarrassing. Therefore, you're not allowed to convey that information. Keeping in mind, once you say it, you don't know who else to repeat it. And again, in 2016, with text messaging, who knows where it's going to be forwarded to in the blink of an eye. It is clear? It is forbidden to relate that an individual is a Baal Tshuva, so this is practically, but we gave a practical example already when it comes to nicknames. If the person is sensitive about this fact, it's true even in a community where Baalei Teshuva are highly respected. So I thought of one more category. So you spoke about nicknames. I told you Rabbi Feynman said he speaks about it regarding Baalei Tshuva. And a third category I thought, which I think is relevant, is in regard to medical conditions. If you know somebody's going through a medical situation, that's not maybe not derogatory, maybe not embarrassing to you. But if it would cause the other person shame to repeat it or to speak about it, then it's forbidden because it will cause them embarrassment. Even if you don't think it's embarrassing, that's not the point. Does it make the other person have habanas panim? Do you whiten their face? Do you make them embarrassed? You're not allowed to repeat it. And in modern times, it's so dangerous because with texting and WhatsApp and cell and email, once you put it out there, you cannot take it back. So these halachos become even more exacerbated, even though, of course, Chazal wrote them before, but imagine the speed, that's what I'm trying to say, the speed at which Lashon Hara, Leitzanus, Habanas Panim can be what? Passed on and so forth. Okay, it just happened to me in a message group. There were maybe six people in there. Somebody said something about me that wasn't true. It was derogatory. It wasn't true. And I held back. I didn't reply. I didn't say anything because it's going to cause further machlokas. It's a very big inyan. Okay, so what do we just learn practically? Not to repeat, not to say ambiguous statements that could cause some harm. If you have a real shayah, especially with shidduchim, don't paskin anything from this class. And furthermore, we cannot embarrass somebody else just because we think it's funny. It's not funny to them. So Kosh Baruch Hu should help us. B'darach she'adam rotzei eleich. B'amalvichin also. When we get out of the Lashon Hara, Hashem should help us to sneeze. To get an emergency phone call. You have to use the bathroom. We should have as much koach and courage as a fifth grader who understands you want to get out and you need to get out. And to see Hashem's guiding hand as Hashkacha, He should help us. Amen. Thank you, ladies. You want me to turn this off?
Okay, you can.